welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Precious Father, we come before you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, indeed, truly, we do need you this morning as no other morning, God. I thank you that great is your faithfulness. And I thank you for working out obedience in me. Hallelujah. So God, right now, we just need you to minister this word to us, because only you can do that. I ask, oh God, that you would move me out of your people's way and move them out of my way so that you can indeed have your way. Speak, Lord. You have already prepared us. We have been prepared through prayer. So speak, Lord, and be high and lifted up in this place, and bless each one of us to have a personal encounter with you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I guess I put the waiver out there first. As I said, the Lord has got me doing something. He, you know me, I'm his wild and crazy girl. I'll do things what he says. So I want to apologize in advance in case we have any technical difficulties this morning, and ask that you bear with us. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our scripture is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In our humanity, we want everything to be so perfect. But we serve a perfect God, and the way he manifests things will be perfect according to his will. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'll be reading for you verses 11 through 17, and I'm going to be reading it in the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Praise the Lord for pages turning. All of us have not gone over to the devices yet. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to start reading in verse 11. Hear the word of the Lord through the Apostle Paul. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No, we are giving you a reason to be proud of us. Amen. So you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. Amen. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Amen. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Praise God. That is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And the title for our sermon this morning is A Message from God. It's all about my son. Now, as I said this morning, I'm going to be experiencing a first, and Minister Tamika, as she said, was traveling, so we didn't get time to practice this, so we're going to do it the way the Lord leads. There's a song penned by a man named Stuart Townend, and he's going to be our co-preacher this morning, if you will. The song that he penned, In Christ Alone, will be intertwined with God's word to us today. So I'm going to let him start. Stuart, number one. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And for those who couldn't hear the words, he said, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. And we'll need that to come up next time. And if Paul had those words available to him some 1963 years ago, he would have sung them indeed. His ministry, his integrity, his very relationship with Christ, with the Christ of God, is being challenged by those who challenge true Christians today. They were called false apostles and deceitful workers then, and today they are called false emissaries, pseudo apostles, low down lying preachers. That's from the Voice and Message translations, not from me. And their motive today is the same as those false apostles of Paul's day. They want those true to Christ to shut up, sit down, and go home. In our text, we find Paul responding to the attack of these enemies of the cross. Oh, yes, that is who they are. When true Christians are coming under attack, it is the cross of Christ that is actually being attacked. Make no mistake about it. Folks are not rejecting you. They're rejecting Christ. We may dress the attackers up in other clothes, but let us not be fooled today. They too are enemies of the cross of Christ. We may call them professors, but not possessors of salvation. Goats, not sheep. Religious haters, religious wannabes, and also folks from any other world religion that attempt to ridicule or in any way discredit Christianity. All are enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul has to defend himself because his ministry, his apostolic authority, is all being challenged. So listen to the text again. Because, he says, we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We're giving you reason to be proud of us so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Stuart, number two. That's what Paul was saying to the persecutors of his day. Here in the love of Christ, I stand. Christ's love controls us. How could he say that? One commentator says, and I quote, because Paul knew God takes care of his own. The fear of God gives us uncommon courage in the face of life's troubles. Standing in the love of Christ, Paul goes on in verse 14, since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Stuart, number three. You who today persecute true Christians, do you realize Stuart is talking about you? and what you have done with the sacrifice of the Christ? Scorned him who came to save you? True Christians did the same in their past, but the reality of the depths of their sin and the awesome gift of forgiveness that was being offered to them became overwhelming. And so they chose not to let the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ be in vain. How hard it must be for you to keep pushing back the love of God. Christ died for all. Right or wrong, his love for you remains. Please believe that today. Paul believed it, and so does the true Christians here today. But Paul goes further and helps us to know that there is a result of that belief that becomes evident in the life of the true Christian. It's not just a verbal testimony. Verse 14 says, since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Oh, this new life has to be received. And if I receive this new life offered in Christ, I will no longer live for myself. That is, in fact, the evidence that I have received new life in Christ. I will no longer live for myself. J.B. Phillips explains this for us, and I quote, in other words, the Lord Jesus not only died for me as a fact of history, but he died as me, a fact of theology to be translated into experience. The truth identifies us with Christ as individual believers in death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When Christ died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. When he arose, we arose. Positionally, as believers, we have died to the old life and now stand in him on resurrection ground. The sentence of death against us as natural-born sinners of Adam's ruined race has been exhausted. End quote. Oh, wow. Stuart, I need your help. Number four. Let the Lord have his way. Here in the death of Christ, I live? How could that be? Well, the Apostle Paul explains what that looks like, living in the death of Christ, that is. Verse 16. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. OMG. Anyone? Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person? The old life is gone. A new life has begun. No more evaluating others from a human point of view. Wow. I don't know if all of us knew that. Paul did. So he no longer looked at Jew and Gentile. He only saw believer and unbeliever. And he now saw Christ as Messiah. So those true Christians aren't just putting on. They have actually been changed. But the change was not theirs to make. It was made by Christ. Stuart, number five. there in the ground. His body lay, light of the world, by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave, he arose again. And now he stands in victory. Sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine. But with the precious blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Stuart. The old life is gone. A new life has begun because of the precious blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Sin's curse has lost its grip on the true Christian. And now we belong to Christ. And now we have the power to tell our flesh no. To please God, that is. As God used Paul to say, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has already become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Stuart, number 6. No guilt in life. No fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I stand. And he reiterates it. No power of hell or scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I stand. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Did you hear what Stuart said, y'all? Essentially the same thing Paul is saying. It's the power of Christ, the power of Christ. So the message from God the Father for us today is don't get it twisted. I understand that you go by what you see, what you hear, what you can taste, and what you can lay hold of. But today I want you to know this. It's not about the preachers, teachers, ushers, deacons, trustees, or member of any ministry in any church, or in the world, or any Christian anywhere. And it's not about you. It's all about my son. None of this would be possible without my son. Hallelujah. That's the message of God for us. Years ago when I was in seminary, so busy, and I was left there, I was going to school, I was teaching at New Life in the North Campus, and I was on the expressway, and I'm sitting there saying, I don't believe this, another week I got to pray the same thing. I said, you know what, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to ask the Lord again, this is ridiculous, every week I'm still asking him the same thing. So then he gets involved, he says, ask me. Amen. I'm saying, Lord, I can't ask you, ask me. We're going back and forth with this, because always the same prayers I've been asking him. Because I didn't have time to go over my notes. Lord, would you please teach the class in spite of me? And I said, I can't ask you this not one more time. And he said, ask me. Ask me. So finally, I'm shouting out there in the car, God, I can't ask you anymore. Because you honor faithfulness. You know what he said? He said, I honor my son. He said, so ask me. And I said, God, would you please teach the class in spite of me? And you know what he said? I always teach the class. And I said, you know what, Lord, I knew that, but why'd you wait at that time 19 years to tell me that? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not about us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody here, maybe you didn't know that Christianity is all about the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for the sins of the world. Nobody else died for us. Nobody else paid redemption's price, buying us back from the sin market. Nobody else would have stayed on that cross, becoming sin for us, subjecting himself to the ridicule of the demon's master and the torture of humankind. Nobody else would have subjected himself to the awesome task of taking on the sins of the world while knowing at the same time that way too many are going to reject his sacrifice. Way too many are not going to see they need a savior before it is too late. A.W. Pink helps us out here, and I quote, before any sinner can be saved, he or she must come to the place of realized weakness. This is what the conversion of the dying thief shows us. What could he do? He could not walk in the paths of righteousness, for there was a nail through either foot. He could not perform any good works, for there was a nail through either hand. He could not turn over a new leaf and live a better life, for he was dying. And my beloved, those hands of yours, which are so ready for self-righteous acting, and those feet of yours, which are so swift to run in the way of legal obedience, must be nailed to the cross. The sinner has to be cut off from his or her own workings and be made willing to be saved by Christ. A realization of your sinful condition, of your lost conditions, of your helpless condition, is nothing more or less than old-fashioned conviction of sin. And this is the sole prerequisite for coming to Christ for salvation. For Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. End quote. Jesus' sacrifice on Calvary's cross can make even you a new person. It does not matter what you have done, what you're doing now, or even what you will do in the future. The new life that's given to us humans by God the Father through God the Son is a free gift. You just have to reach out and take it. Then your new life will begin. God makes saints out of sinners. He has a plan to make something beautiful out of all of our lives. And all of this is the power of Christ. And it will be in the power of Christ that each person made new stands. He works in us. He works in us. He works in us. The will and the do of his good pleasure. He is the one who will see to it that all we are commanded to do will get done properly and perfectly if we follow his lead. No matter what it looks like to us, because it's not about us. Again, as we stand this morning, the message from God the Father says to us today, please don't get it twisted. It's all about my son. None of this would be possible without my son. If you're here today and you realize your sinful condition, your helpless state, and you want to be saved from your sins, your helplessness, essentially saved from yourself, won't you come today and allow the power of Christ to make you new in him, to make something beautiful out of your life? He's waiting. Minister Tamika.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song, this cornerstone, the solid ground, firm through the fire of doubt and storm. When heights of love, what depth of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ, I stand.
Praise the Lord. The second call is for those who need to make a fresh commitment to the Lord for whatever reason. And then the third call is if you are in need of a church home and the Holy Spirit is tugging at your spirit to become a part of Redeemer, then take that step out into the aisle. The three calls, the call to salvation, the call to allow Christ's payment for sins to be applied to your account, and then the call for rededication. Please don't worry about whoever's sitting next to you. As the Father says to us today, this is all about Christ. It's all about you and God, not about the person sitting or standing next to you. Please don't worry about what you think they're going to think. Because at the end of the day, some of us in here need to make a fresh commitment to the Lord. For whatever reason. For whatever reason. And let us stop trying to figure out what's happening with other people when we got a whole lot of stuff happening with us. But it's in Christ alone. Please, the scripture, the writer to the Hebrews said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Please know today, if you're not saved or you're not sure, I've said it before, I'll say it many times again, as long as the Lord gives me breath, you don't have to be in church to get saved. You don't have to be in church to make a fresh commitment. You do have to be in church if you want to join up with us. But please, know today, if your soul, if you can't say it is well with my soul, then your soul is in jeopardy. And as it was prayed earlier this morning by Deacon Thompson, look at all the things that are happening in this world. People at Walmart, okay? They kill so many people there. They kill people in the post office. All kinds of places. People are getting killed everywhere. People are getting killed in church. So this next moment is not promised to us. And if you know that you need to, what the old folks used to say back in the day, we don't hear people say it much anymore. If you know you need to get right with God, then come on, what they say, get right with God and do it now. Do it today. Behold, the scripture says, in the day that you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. We had a saying back when I was growing up, if you study long, you study wrong. If you keep debating about it, should I, you ain't going to do it. But take a step out there. The Lord will meet you when you take that step. He'll meet you. Come on. Come on. Come on. He's waiting for you. You know who you are. Whether it's salvation, whether it's rededication, or whether it's joining this church, I put all the calls together so nobody will know why you're coming. Oh, amen. The scripture says love covers. Doesn't God cover you? He covers me. Amen. So if you're here today and you want to respond to one of those calls, the Lord is waiting on you. And Father, I ask that you would convict that one who you're waiting on to take that step of faith and trust you. Will you bow in prayer with me? God, we thank you for the reminder today that this salvation journey, all of our experiences, our gifts, everything is all about you. And it was all about the sacrifice of your son. because without him, we wouldn't be here this morning. We would have no reason to be in any church anywhere. So we thank you for your awesome plan of salvation, and we thank you that it included us. Seal this message to us, Lord. Repeat it over and over in our spirits until those of us who need to say yes do so. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
This gift of love and righteousness scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died,